I'm going to begin my sermon today with something that I saw on Facebook, a friend posted, that kind of stuck with me, and I think you'll see why. It posits a situation. It says that that you're carrying a cup of coffee, and somebody bumps into you, and you spill your coffee. And then it asks the question, why did you spill your coffee? Now, the obvious answer is because somebody bumped into you. Makes sense, common sense. But it says that's not exactly the right answer. Or maybe that's just one answer. But the answer that he's looking for is because there was coffee in your cup. Okay? You really kind of got to step back to see that. And he goes on to say, if you'd had water in your cup or tea in your cup, that's what you would have spilled instead of coffee. Whatever's in the cup is what spills out when you get bumped into. And then he makes the analogy to life, to our lives. And he says, whenever you get bumped into, whenever something rattles you, it's what's on the inside that's going to come out. So the question is, what's going to come out? Is it going to be light and love? Is it going to be the fruits of the Spirit, like peace and joy, gentleness, self-control, patience, those kinds of things? Or is it going to be something a little darker? Unfortunately, I think oftentimes it's that something darker that comes out when we get rattled, when we get bumped into. Just in the last month or so, we've had a new Star Wars movie come out. And I've always enjoyed the Star Wars movies, going clear back to the late 70s when they first came out. And one of the reasons is because it gives us a universe where we have a choice between the forces of good and light. You know, may the force be with you. That kind of that force of creative force of good that exists in all the universe. Or the forces of darkness, the dark side. And one of the things I love about the Star Wars movies is they don't pretend that that's an easy choice. It's not. As we see over and over again in the movies, even some of the best and the brightest wind up choosing the dark side. There's just something so tempting about responding to darkness with darkness, responding to anger and violence with anger and violence, and just letting that bitterness, that anger, just boil up inside of us, and we feel powerful when that happens. It's tempting. There's a scene in Return of the Jedi, so we're going back a few years for this, and I'm just going to show you a little clip of it. It's a scene where Luke Skywalker has just defeated, or appears to have defeated, his father. He just discovered that Darth Vader was his father, one of the greatest Jedis who ever lived, who went to the dark side. And Luke has let the anger just grow in him, and he's nearly defeated his father at this point, and it looks like he may go to the dark side too. So this is the clip.
It has made you powerful. Now, fulfill your destiny and take your father's place at my side.
Never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
It was closer. It was closer than a lot of people realize to him going over to the dark side. And I think it's a temptation that is there for all of us. That dark side is tempting. We want to respond. When somebody comes at you angry, I know there's a temptation to respond in kind. There just is. And even if the world doesn't make us actively angry and bitter, sometimes we allow just those waves of despair and hopelessness to wash over us when we see the darkness in the world. And we just give in to that despair and that hopelessness. And that's another form of darkness. That's just another way of capitulating to the darkness in the world. But as we know, God did not send his son into the world to destroy it. We all know that verse. It's the most memorized verse in Scripture. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it, to redeem it. And therefore, as disciples of Jesus, we are light bearers. We are not, the tools of the dark side are not an option for us. They're not. We are light bearers in the world, just as Jesus was. And as soon as we take on the tools of the dark side, we've joined forces with the wrong side, the opposite side. And the Bible makes this clear from the very beginning. The opening verses make it clear that our God is a God of light, not a God of darkness. So we see for instance, that as people of the light, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The early Christians did not say, this is E. Stanley Jones, he was a famous preacher and author. The early Christians did not say in despair, look what the world is coming to. But in delight, they said, look what has come into the world. So we don't, you know, it's so easy to point to the darkness in the world and to think that it really is victorious, but that's not who we are. We point to the light, and we are people of the light. And again, the Bible makes this point. In the very first verses of the Bible, we read in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the darkness was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind, a breath from God, swept over the face of the waters. And what was God's first words? Let there be light. And there was light. From the very beginning, darkness is the opposite of what God is. Chaos is the opposite of what God is. Our God is a God of order, a God of light. And it's no coincidence that the Bible keeps coming back to this image over and over and over again. In Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? And in 1 John, the letter of 1 John in the New Testament begins with these words, which I just love. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And our scripture reading for today from the Gospel of John, again, one of my favorites, the opening verses, recalls this ancient theme that goes clear back to the beginning of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Logos, the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I love that verse. I come back to that verse so often, and especially around the Christmas season. And if you were here for one of our Christmas Eve services, you probably heard that verse. It's one that I almost always use on Christmas Eve. There's another one, too, that I often quote or use during the Christmas Eve service and during the Advent season, and it's actually from the prophet Isaiah, a prophecy of the Messiah. It says, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and that son brings light and life into the universe. One of the things I love most, one of the moments I love most at that Christmas Eve service, is when we dim all the lights in the church and we try to recall the darkness that Isaiah describes here. And once that's all done, the deacons come forward and they take a light from the single candle of Jesus, the Christ candle that burns here up on the stage, and they take that light and they spread it out into the congregation, and we watch as that light gets spread from person to person until everyone's candles are lit and the sanctuary is lit by candlelight, and then we sing Silent Night together, and on the last verse, when we sing about love's pure light, we raise our candles in the air. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. And then, before everybody goes on to their Christmas celebration, I quote those words that I just read from John's Gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, and has not, and will not ever overcome it. I believe in that light, even though I know the darkness is powerful, even though I know the darkness is tempting and that many give into it. I also believe that it's only when we live in that light and are bearers of that light that we have any hope of ever overcoming the darkness in our world. The only chance, if we live in that light and if we're bearers of that light. Years ago, I fell in love with a story about light and dark and a cold winter night. And it was written by an author named Walter Wangeren, who was a Lutheran pastor, but a very prolific author and a great storyteller. And one of his most famous stories is a story called The Rag Man, which I highly recommend if you've never heard it before. This story is a story about a young boy and his father who get caught in a winter storm, some weather very similar to kind of weather we've been having recently. But it's also about faith, and about the power of faith to overcome the dark. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close with this today, this story. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. The story begins on a cold December day. It was a gray sky they walked beneath, and a sharp wind whipped their faces. The man expected snow, but not before dark, and even then not too heavy. Flurries, he muttered to no one in particular. Several of the traps the man had set had snapped on nothing. One, however, held a jackrabbit, frozen hard as a brick, its ears laid back because its mouth was open. The man was hoping to catch at least one coyote to show the boy. Coyotes were killers, destructive. The man believed that the world was a cold, heartless place, and he thought it was time to teach the boy the truth. They kill, they are killed, he said. That's just the way it is. He considered himself a realist. He lived by fact, no more, no less, and his son should do the same. But the boy was afraid to find coyotes bitten by their traps. He couldn't be as bluff as the man. To him, the mouth of the jackrabbit seemed to be shaping a frozen scream. The rabbit is saying something, he thought to himself, biting his lip. But he wouldn't say anything because he knew that his father would laugh and call him a dreamer, so he kept his thought to himself. Later that afternoon, as they were nearing the end of their trap lines, the weather changed quite suddenly. A deeper darkness cloaked the sky. The snow came earlier than expected, and with wind growing stronger every minute, the snow stung their faces and made it difficult to walk. They bent into the wind and began toward home. They had killed no coyotes. Within the hour, the snow enclosed them in a shroud of white. Their legs ached, and they couldn't see more than 6 feet in front of them. The man angrily admitted that they were caught in a blizzard. Fortunately, the man remembered an old shack they had passed earlier, and he led the boys to its shelter. It was a windbreak and an escape from the snow, but that was about it. It was dark and cold and small. Once inside, they looked around quickly for firewood, but found only half a candle. They waited, shivering, for the storm to cease. It didn't. All around the small wooden shack, the blizzard howled. They lighted the small candle once, twice, three times. They bent over it, and finally it burned a single flame. They waited. Deep into the night, with the storm still blowing, the man leaped to his feet and swore at the wind. He stomped his feet and swore at the darkness. Who's the fool that didn't leave wood in this place? Hang him. The man was mad. And why would this storm strike now? It's a rotten, unfair world. We're going to die in this place. His hands and feet were numb. The boy said, "Here's a fire. This is warm." The man stared incredulously at the child, then burst into laughter. "It's a candle," he said. "One little flame. It can't heat anything, and that's just the way it is." "No, but I'm warm," the boy said, pleading. "Dreamer," the man muttered with a bitter affection. He sighed. "Warmed by a candle wick. Ah, boy, I know the facts when I see them. You have so much to learn." The boy kept his thoughts to himself after that. He gazed at the flame, which was weak indeed, but he was seeing it with his soul. The little dreamer saw himself inside the fire, and all around him glowed an even yellow heat, for it grew in his gaze even greater than he. Faith saw a fire, and the boy's body was warmed. Before the night was over, while the wind still shrieked around the dark shack, a man slumped into a dangerous sleep, his skin growing colder and his breathing coming in shallow gasps. The boy, warmed by his faith and the flame of a small candle, slid up inside his father's parka and buttoned the two together. One warmed the other, and they lived to see the morning, though one saw it only grimly, while the other saw the face of God. The light has come into the darkness. That means the darkness is real, and it's powerful, and it's dangerous, and it's there. And it's until the end comes, it's going to be there. But the good news that we were born to proclaim is that the light, even just a single flame, has come into the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Thanks be to God.